Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 15. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So, if you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It says, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated.
Jesus was hungry. I guess I'd be hungry too if I hadn't eaten for 40 days. But this is a really interesting detail in the story tonight. Jesus was hungry. As I thought about this, I realized that there's nobody around to record this story. It's just Jesus alone in the wilderness for 40 days. Yes, Satan shows up, but when Luke wrote this down, he must have heard this from somebody. Jesus must have taken the time sometime later, maybe around a bonfire at the edge of the Sea of Galilee, to tell the disciples about this very time. At some point, Jesus said to Luke, "I gotta tell you about this time where I was in the wilderness, and I gotta let you know I was hungry." I've asked myself, why is it important that Jesus was hungry? What is it about being hungry? See, I think being hungry is an interesting thing. I think sometimes it leads us to make the worst choices possible. And sometimes it leads us to make great choices. For example, I know that in my life, I cannot go grocery shopping if I'm hungry. I can walk into Harris Teeter with a list of 7 things, but if I'm hungry when I walk in there, I walk out with a cartload of things that I know Susie's going to kill me when I bring home that night. Chips and granola bars and wings and all the things that I wasn't sent to get. But if I go in there hungry, it drives me to buy these things that I know I shouldn't buy, I don't need, and I spent way too much money on. But then again, hungry can be a great thing, right? Every Sunday, our family goes out to eat after church. We rotate who picks, you know, Tucker, then Wyatt, then Hudson, then Susie, then me. Then Tucker, then Hudson, then Wyatt, then Susie, you know me. So we go in a circle, and when it's my turn, oh, I get really excited. Because I go where everybody should go on a Sunday afternoon. The Mongolian Grill. Peking. And do you know what I do? I make sure I don't eat breakfast. Because as Doug told me once, when you go there, you gotta get your money's worth. And so I eat. I show up hungry, and I love every minute of it. Susie thinks it's absolutely disgusting, but that's okay. It's my turn to pick. She can't choose something else. But when we're hungry, it drives us. It moves us. It shapes the decisions that we make, both good and bad. And it's not just food that we hunger for. We hunger for love. We hunger for affirmation. We hunger for truth and justice. We hunger for rest and solitude. Maybe we hunger for companionship. But we have these deep longings and desires, these hungers that are inside of us, and these hungers drive us. They drive us to make great choices sometimes, and they drive us to make disastrous choices sometimes. But the truth is we're all hungry. The Bible says something interesting about hunger. As I was typing in hunger into searches in my computer, I realized that in Deuteronomy 8, there was something new and different that I had heard about hunger. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, it reads, "Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years? To humble you, to test you, in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." That hunger can drive our decisions. Hunger can make us choose one thing or another. But there's something else about hunger. It humbles us. It teaches us. That God can use these times of hunger to mold and shape us into who he wants us to be. But it also seems that in these times when we're really hungry, that Satan steps in. As we read tonight, as Matt read these verses, I think it's important to realize that Jesus wants us to know that he was hungry, because when we're hungry, God can use it to teach us, to mold us, to humble us. But Satan can also use it to tempt us, to get sneaky with us, to try to trick us. Because when we're hungry, we're not always our best. There's a new word out there, hangry, that angry you get when you're hungry. Anybody sitting next to somebody that gets hangry sometimes? That's why my wife carries granola bars. Hungry. As we read this passage, I think it's important for us to realize that the author, that Luke is bringing us back, that even Jesus is bringing us back to the wilderness. To that time when Israel is moving from Egypt to the promised land, and it's not such a direct route, right? God sort of leads them through this 40-year journey in the wilderness. And as Jesus heads to the wilderness, I think it's important for us to realize that we're supposed to be thinking a little bit about that time in the Old Testament when the Israelites were wandering in a wilderness of their own. We see lots of similarities. One, the amount of days, right? It's 40 years for the Israelites, 40 days for Jesus. Led by the Spirit, Jesus heads to the wilderness. Led by the Spirit, the Israelites follow the pillar of smoke and fire. And of course, when Jesus confronts Satan, he keeps quoting Deuteronomy, chapter 6, chapter 8, chapter 9, bringing us back to that moment when the Israelites are wandering in the desert. And of course, we're reminded of the Israelites because Jesus says he was hungry. And when I think about those Israelites wandering in the desert, in the wilderness, I know one thing for sure. They got hungry. And when they got hungry, they made some crazy decisions. Satan knows about this. Satan knows that when we're hungry, we're not always at our best. And so when Jesus is hungry, Satan shows up. And what's the first thing he does? He says, "Hey, if you're the Son of God, turn that rock into a loaf of bread and eat it. You know, you don't have to be hungry anymore. Basically, Satan's saying like, hey, do you believe that God can provide? You see, he did this with the Israelites, right? The Israelites are wandering in the desert for 40 years and they get really hungry. They cry out, they say, God, we are hungry. Are you going to feed us? Are you going to provide for us? God says, yes, I am. He gives them manna. And every morning they look out from their tents and there's bread from heaven scattered on the ground. Can you imagine what that must have been like? And they scurry out of their tents and they collect that manna. But there's something that Jesus says. He says, hey, don't take more than one day's worth. If you keep it, it's going to rot and spoil. It's going to make you sick. Just take enough for today. If you were wandering the wilderness for 40 years and you saw a pile of bread on the ground, do you think you'd be tempted to put a little bit in your pocket? To save a little bit for the next day? Would you be thinking just a little bit, I wonder if God's going to do this tomorrow too. I better keep a little bit just in case. In our hunger, sometimes we forget that God provides. That God gives us exactly what we need. And Satan knows that in our hunger, we doubt that sometimes. That we start questioning that truth and we wonder, will God provide? And when we start doubting that, we start making crazy decisions. But Satan goes on. He tempts Jesus again. He shows them all the kingdoms of the world and he says, hey, Jesus, if you want to have all these kingdoms, all you got to do is worship me. Satan says, I'm not going to worship you. But what Satan is doing there is he's saying, Jesus, let me give you a shortcut. See, you want to be king of everything, right? You're going to be glorified by all the nations are going to come to you, but you're supposed to go through the cross, right? Like Jesus knew that there was a plan, and the plan was that I had to go to the cross and go to hell and be raised from the dead, and then I'll get the crown. And Satan says, let me give you a shortcut. Just worship me now, and you'll get the crown, and it'll all be good. Because when we're hungry, we want shortcuts. The Israelites did this. Sitting at the base of Mount Sinai, Moses goes up and they get tired and hungry and bored. And so what do? They collect the gold, they make a golden calf, and they say, this is a lot easier. God's walking us in these big circles. We'll just carry it directly that way and we'll be there in no time. We get hungry, we want shortcuts. But Jesus knows there is no shortcut. He tells his disciples that the plan is that I'm going to die. And then immediately he says, and if you're going to follow me, you got to pick up your cross too. That you got to die to yourself if you want to truly live. But when we're hungry, we don't want to hear that. We question God's plan. But we're reminded that even when we're hungry, that God's plan is right, that he will provide, and that the path that he has for us, even though it's hard, is the right one. Satan goes on, and he brings Jesus to the top of the temple, and he says, hey, here you are at the top of the temple. Throw yourself down. And he quotes scripture and he says, all the angels will come, they'll catch you, they won't let you get hurt. Jesus says, no way. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to test God. I know that he will save me, but I know that it's in his time. When we're hungry, we get impatient. The Israelites did this time and time again. In fact, the verse that Jesus quotes brings us right back to the time when the Israelites, they're getting really thirsty and they're getting really impatient. And they say, Jesus, did you bring us out here just to let us die in the desert? No. He brought you out there to save you. Don't you remember Egypt? Don't you remember when you were slaves? And now he's leading you to life. But in our hunger, we forget that Jesus wants to save us, that Jesus has the best in mind for us, We grow weary and we grow impatient and we get dogmatic and we tell God, I want you to save me now. And Jesus says, in my time, in my way. Hunger is a really interesting thing. This Lenten season, I wonder if it's time for us to ask ourselves a question. I wonder if we can ask ourselves, where has our hunger led us? In our hunger, have we forgotten that God provides? Have we begun to forge our own path, a shortcut? Have we lost sight of that wonderful salvation that God has given to us? Where has your hunger led you? But Jesus has good news. See, as we read this narrative, we know that Jesus overcomes, right? That in our hunger, like the Israelites, we fail. We forget God's provision. We forge our own path. We forget our salvation. But Jesus doesn't. He beats Satan with his own word, with God's word, and he prevails. And you know what he says a few chapters later? He says, if you're hungry, come to me. If you're hungry, feast on me. That in our hunger, we don't have to fill our shopping cart with a whole bunch of stuff that we don't need. But in our hunger, we can go to our Savior and we can be completely satisfied. And we will never hunger again. As we journey to Jerusalem together this Lenten season, may we rediscover a God that provides, a God whose path is right, a God whose salvation is perfect. And may we rediscover that our hunger is completely satisfied in Him.